On Monday, Planned Parenthood resumed providing abortions in Wisconsin after more than a year-long hiatus. It's a move based in part on a decision by a Dane County Circuit Court judge that ruled that the 1849 abortion ban does not apply to voluntary medical abortions. Here's the announcement from Tanya Atkinson, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin.
Since the U.S. Supreme Court decision, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has maintained there were two paths that would allow PPWI to resume providing abortion services, a legislative path and a legal path. A ruling by the Dane County Circuit Court in July made it clear that the 1849 law is not enforceable for voluntary abortions. This Monday, September 18th, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion care at our Water Street Health Center in Milwaukee and in Madison at our Madison East Health Center. In consultation with attorneys, physicians, partners, and stakeholders, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin is confident in our decision to resume abortion care in Wisconsin.
Coming up, we'll talk to a Wisconsin legal expert about the basis of the decisions by that judge and Planned Parenthood. First, we'll get the latest from our own state government reporter. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this decision? Do you have questions about the legal future in the courts of this? There will be more, I'm sure, to come. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Sarah Lear is a state government reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We heard from the director of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Can you talk a little more about what they said about why and how they're resuming their services now?
So they're resuming abortions at two clinics, one's in Madison and one's in Milwaukee. They started offering those appointments Monday. The CEO of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin said appointments very quickly filled up after becoming available. Their reasoning is a decision from this summer from a Dane County Circuit Court judge, in which the judge opined basically that a 19th century law that has been widely interpreted as banning most abortions actually bans feticide, which is when someone attacks a pregnant person and destroys the fetus. The judge actually wrote that she doesn't think, under her interpretation, that the law bans abortions that are done with a patient's consent.
As I mentioned, we're going to be talking to a law professor about the law side of that. I'm guessing, though, that word from that judge probably won't be the last word. It seems like all parties agree there's going to be lawsuits and legal challenges around this.
Absolutely. The case in Dane County is still ongoing. It's likely to make its way to Wisconsin's Supreme Court eventually. And last week, the Republican Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, said that Planned Parenthood was being presumptive in making this decision. He said, you know, this is still ongoing. He thinks the abortion ban is still in effect.
You mentioned that we don't know how many appointments, but that appointments were full, according to Planned Parenthood. There's been a long history of protest and counter-protest for abortion providers. Have we seen that already this week?
Yep. Protesters outside the clinics in Madison and Milwaukee this week. WPR's reporter Margaret Faust, for example, was outside the Milwaukee clinic. Nearly 50 people there praying, citing religious faith as a reason for opposing abortions. By Monday morning, there was already, you know, fairly large protests there.
And we mentioned there are likely legal cases to come. Are there next steps in this story that you're watching for now?
Well, Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General, Josh Call, who sued days after Roe was overturned to try and block prosecutions of abortions under the 19th century law, he's filed a motion asking for final judgment in the Dane County case. He wants Circuit Court Judge Diane Schlipper to issue a final order saying very clearly, no, the law does not ban abortions done with a pregnant person's consent.
Sarah, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for bringing us up to date today.
Thank you.
That's Sarah Lear, state government reporter here at Wisconsin Public Radio. She helped us break down the news of Planned Parenthood resuming abortions in Wisconsin. Now we're going to dig into the legal context of Planned Parenthood's decision. Lisa Mazey is a professor at Marquette University Law School. She specializes in appellate advocacy, feminist legal theory, legal reasoning, and statutory interpretation. Lisa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
And thank you for having me.
Okay, this is a legal argument, I think, that a lot of people will disagree about. Can you break down the argument that came through this Dane County Circuit Court that said, contrary to, I think, what we've been thinking over the last year, medical abortion isn't illegal in Wisconsin under that 1849 law?
Sure. So one of the things to keep in mind here is that when courts interpret statutes, there's a process for doing that. There's a well-established process in Wisconsin that the Supreme Court of Wisconsin has elaborated in case law that says this is how we go about interpreting statutes. And the first step in interpreting a statute always is looking at the text of the statute itself and reading the text of the statute. And that is where the district court judge began, was with the text of the statute. She is able to lean heavily on a 1994 Wisconsin Supreme Court case called State v. Black that had already interpreted one part of this statute. So we're talking about section 940.04 of the Wisconsin statutes, and the 1994 case dealt with section 940.04 sub 2. And that is the case where the court decided that provision applied to feticide, not to voluntary abortions. And so part of the analysis here is there's other than the penalty involved, there's like one word difference between subsection 1 and subsection 2. And it would be absurd to interpret those two provisions differently. So for example, to interpret subsection 2 to apply to feticide as the court in State versus Black did, and then interpret subsection 1 to apply to voluntary abortion, that she says just would not make sense.
Now, in the abortion law language defining feticide as homicide, I want to read a couple lines from it here, quoting, any person other than the mother who intentionally destroys the life of an unborn child, ending quote there, would be subject to a felony charge. And there's a specification, this section does not apply to a therapeutic abortion, which is performed by a physician, is necessary to save the life of the mother, and it goes on. So if I was arguing on the, pro-life side or against what Planned Parenthood is doing, I would say, well, wait a minute, they make that exception for therapeutic abortion. Doesn't that imply that the initial thing covers all the other abortions that could potentially happen?
Right, and I think that makes sense. Now, whether that section could be, if you will, severed from the understanding of the other two is a different question. But the question here isn't so much about the therapeutic abortions. The question is about voluntary abortions and doctors who provide voluntary abortions. Would they be prosecuted under sub one? And the concern after the fall of Roe versus Wade was that they would be, and then subject to a felony.
We'll dig more into the fine print, I guess, in our law. But right now, Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin is providing abortions to some patients. I want to talk to who might be legally liable. First of all, as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, a patient, somebody who goes to Planned Parenthood, receives an abortion, they do not have legal liability. Do I have that right?
You are correct. There is the patient who obtains an abortion cannot, and I want to stress that, cannot be prosecuted for obtaining an abortion. That's in Wisconsin Statute 940.13. So patients themselves should feel comfortable that they are not, should not be in fear of being prosecuted for obtaining an abortion.
Now, for somebody working at Planned Parenthood who is part of providing an abortion, it seems like there's a gray area right now. I don't know.
Yeah. So the statute says any person, right? And other than the mother. So doctors come to mind, of course, but there could be, I suppose, you know, other personnel involved in that process or procedure that could fall under that statute. It would depend how the district attorney viewed it. The statutory language.
And that's a key point. These things are happening in Madison and Milwaukee. District attorneys in those counties, Dade and Milwaukee County, might not pursue these charges. I believe the Attorney General, Josh Call, he's challenged the current state of Wisconsin law. He doesn't seem likely. If no one pursues charges, then we won't put these laws, these ideas to the test?
That's correct. So yes, you're correct that the Milwaukee County District Attorney and the Dane County District Attorney, and of course Madison is located in Dane County, they did not participate in defending or in this lawsuit. So I believe they've said publicly that they would not prosecute anyone, and Josh Call has said he is not going to, his office will not prosecute anyone. So under those district attorneys, we won't know. The question is, of course, if those district attorneys change, if the people in those positions change, would some subsequent district attorney take a different position?
We're talking to Lisa Mazey, professor at Marquette University Law School, about Planned Parenthood's decision to resume abortion services in Wisconsin and many legal issues surrounding that. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the idea of Planned Parenthood resuming abortions as they have in Wisconsin this week? Do you think they made the right decision to start offering them right now? Do you have thoughts on what the 1849 law in Wisconsin means or should be read to mean? Would you want to see lawmakers change Wisconsin's abortion laws? If so, how? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Lisa Mazey, professor of legal writing at Marquette University Law School. She's breaking down the current state of abortion law in Wisconsin after Planned Parenthood announced it's resuming abortion services as of this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about Planned Parenthood's decision to resume abortions in Wisconsin? Are you confused about the state of the law, given that's happening? If so, I promise you are not alone. If you're a medical provider, what do you think about all of this? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa, this is already pretty complicated. Here's another twist. We had that 1849 law just after Wisconsin became a state. Then a law passed in 1985, you know, while Roe v. Wade is in effect, that seemingly contradicts that 1849 law, though that older law was never actually taken off the books. We've had challenges, including from the state attorney general, saying, hey, no, 1985 law, that's the most current one. That's in effect. How do those two laws play together in our court system?
Right. And that's something that the district court wrestled with here. And again, so there's like there are rules about how courts go about interpreting statutes. And one of the rules about that is trying to make sense of how two seemingly contrary things can coexist together. Right. We presume that there's some logical development of the law. So the fact that there were these later statutes that more thoroughly addressed abortion in Wisconsin, do those impliedly repeal that earlier statute? How does that work? And that, like I said, is something that the judge wrestled with. And in part, she solves that by saying, those were enacted in 1985. By 1994, the Wisconsin Supreme Court had decided that 940.04 covered feticide, or at least 940.04 sub 2 had covered feticide. And so therefore, it's a different statute. It's not the same. And so the other statutes enacted in 1985 can regulate abortion, and that's what they regulate. This other one, 940.04, regulates something different. And that's one way that, she resolved the way of making sense with it. Another what we call canon of construction, rules about statutory interpretation, is that we presume the legislature is aware of what the court does when it interprets statutes. So when the court in 1994 interpreted 940.04 in the way that it did, the legislature did not change the law. It did not change 940.04 to make it clear that it did not address feticide and that it was meant to address something else. So the fact that the legislature did not change the law is something that we say in legal analysis, is that we assume that the legislature agrees with the interpretation that the court gave the law.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Milwaukee. Jim, hello.
Hello. I just had a question for the professor. If a district attorney in a different county was to interpret the old, 1869 law to still be charged criminally, could they charge like a juvenile who didn't get consent from their parents because they're not required to? Could they, a different county, charge a kid in Milwaukee because there's not like a venue issue with respect to juvenile cases in Wisconsin?
Jim, thanks for the call. I think a couple different things in there, Lisa. First of all, if a district attorney were charging for abortion provision in the state, could a minor's parent be charged for setting up the appointment, driving the kid to the abortion, that kind of thing?
I have not thought about that, so I feel like my answer will be somewhat incomplete. Mm-hmm. That raises for me, it just raises other concerns for me about, the ability of someone to move across the state vehicularly, like driving across the state to obtain an abortion. There seems to be some ability. You should be able to move across the state to do things, right? So I am not so sure. I suppose some district attorney in a different county could, but the abortion would not have taken place in that county. And that seems to me to be sort of crucial to what we're talking about here.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. And Lisa, I know a lot of states have moved toward legislation making it explicit that, or trying to make it explicit that traveling across state lines might be legal, or anybody involved in the process of transporting anywhere along the way toward an abortion. Wisconsin has not done things explicitly along those lines, as far as I know.
Correct, as far as I know. And from other legal scholars that have considered that issue, they most seem to think that those kinds of statutes, those kind of laws, are going to be unconstitutional.
Thanks again for that call, Jim, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Lisa Mazey, professor at Marquette University Law School, about the current state of abortion law in Wisconsin after Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin announced they're resuming abortion services based in large part on one circuit court judge's ruling in an ongoing lawsuit. I wanted to ask Lisa, we've got a lot of different courts, of course, here in the state. We had this circuit court judge in Dane County make this ruling in refusing to dismiss a lawsuit related to abortion. Like, what does that mean for the rest of the state? That doesn't instantly make her ruling the established case law in the state, or does it?
No, it does not. And as your reporter earlier said, this case is still ongoing. Mm-hmm. It is not ended yet. It cannot yet be appealed. So once you get something out of the district court and up higher into the court system, you would probably get more clarity on, you know, whether this would apply across the state or not. But right now we're talking about one judge in one court with two particular parties, or three particular defendants, the district attorneys of Dane County, Milwaukee County, and Sheboygan County.
Likely, we can't predict the future, but I think it's a safe guess, Lisa, this will probably all end up coming to the state Supreme Court at some point, right?
I can't see how it isn't.
Let's go back to
I think it for sure will end up there.
Time for one more caller. Chris is with us in Menominee. Chris, hi.
Hi. So my question is, what exactly is the standing that the court recognizes that they have the right to adjudicate this one way or another? Are we just debating where life begins? Are we deliberating women's rights? Which one is it? What is their reason for adjudicating this?
Chris, thanks for the call. Who made the court system part of this story, Lisa?
The standing argument is it's neither of the things mentioned. So here, where the court says the standing, it can hear this case because it's an issue that's unique, a unique issue of interest to citizens in this state, and it has case law to back that up. So because this is an important and unique issue, and it matters to the people of this state, right? It's affecting lives and health and lives, that the parties have standing to be in the court. So this case is about an interpretation of a statute. It is not a debate about when life begins or the rights of women or pregnant people. So that's, I think, an important thing to keep in mind here.
Chris, thanks for the call. And Lisa, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
That's Lisa Amezi, professor at Marquette University Law School. We talked about the current state of abortion law in Wisconsin following Planned Parenthood's decision to resume abortion services.